like announcing they're going to close all the automats. Hello, it's 38 seconds after the hour of 11, and this is the month of November in the year of our Lord, 2006. Thank you for coming along, making a part of your listening day. We are live from the plushly appointed, yet not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970 Solid State Radio. This, my friends, is the Rick Emerson radio program. And thank you for coming along, making it part of your listening day. It is 503-733-2970 if you want to engage with us via the phone line today. 503-733-2970. You can also join us electronically if that is your wish, your whim, your desire, your heart's fondest goal. Rick at rickemerson.com.
That's what it is.
Rick at rickemerson.com. All right. Bastards, I told you about this. I told you about it. I'm not going to say that no one believed me, but I'm going to say that it was widely disputed. It was widely disparaged. People rejected the story. And yet, right here. Have you read this? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I might.
Yes.
No, I have no idea.
I guess. You don't even have a little guess?
I hate, you always do this to me. You can guess. I don't know.
O.J. Simpson.
Oh. I printed that out for Tim.
I was going to say that, but I thought that that would be everyone's guess.
Yeah, we didn't want to ruin it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Both hello.
Ruin it. We ruin other things.
O.J. Simpson to talk about something. I'm not going to tell you what, though.
How morbid is that, though?
Sorry. But see, here...
So you know he's actually giving the details.
But see, here's
just messed
and,
up.
See, and I've got like three different stories. This is how fascinating it is to me. And people can think that I'm sick or I'm weird or I'm warm. You know your ass is going to be... Because here's the thing. It's not... It's, and what a bad photo of him. Look at him. That's zombie OJ right there.
Oh,
what is it with everybody having a zombie brain-eating picture lately? First it was Dick Clark. Then it's Rick Santorum's weird... man, that's going to be a kid with a crawl space full of kittens. And then we've got O.J. Simpson, who really does... First of all, he just doesn't appear to be aging. I think he's just eating babies or something, because he's staying the same age. But we have this O.J. Simpson story a couple weeks ago, which then his lawyer, O.J.'s lawyer himself, dismissed as crap. And now there's a second half to it, though. We had all of the stuff that we revealed before is actually going to... And by revealed, I meant that I read out of the Inquirer. Is true. But now there's a second half to it that I didn't know about until this morning. We'll tell you what that second half is coming up in just a while. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the regular cast of folks you've come to know and love, including myself. We'll all be introduced in due time. Before we move on to anything else, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show.
A postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Our good friend, Mailman Chris. Hello, sir.
Good morning.
Hi there. You are able to speak freely today with vigor?
I am.
All right.
How did you know that was what I was drinking this morning?
Are you really drinking vigor?
I am. I've actually got two of the businesses on my route ordering them now.
Fantastic. Excellent. Man, I had to start asking for a kickback. Not that I would do that, because that would be in violation of the CBS conduct policy. I'm just saying, if I was a less principled person. Sarah, actually, right now, as we speak, just cracked the seal on a brand new bottle of Will. So there you go. Fantastic.
See, so far, everyone that I've talked to, everyone that I'm turning on to it, they prefer Will. To the vigor.
See, vigor, and again, it's different strokes for different folks, because I think it was another postal carrier, Sarah's ex-boyfriend, Justin, who I think said that he preferred vigor to Will, which is fine. A lot of people like it. It's a little too citrusy for me. It's not that it's, it's not bad, but given my choice, I would take the Will, because vigor's got a little too much of a, it's like if you drink it first thing in the morning, it's sort of like being, it's like someone has reached in and slapped your uvula, which is a phrase one does not hear all that often. Uvula.
Now, is that like cursing into my MS slap?
I'm gonna go home and slap the uvula. Yes, it is, and by yes I mean yes. All right. Well, let's see. Here's where now. Can we? Are we allowed to discuss any of yesterday's happenings? And you know what I mean.
Oh, it's nothing important. You talking about yesterday morning?
You were just being stalked by a manager.
It's a quarterly thing. We evaluation to check our driving skills. And make sure that we're doing everything properly and by the book. Fortunately, just so happened to be that they decided to follow me right at like 5 minutes.
Now, I'm not trying to be sarcastic about this, but I really mean, what? When they say procedures, I mean, they give you the mail, you give the mail to me, you move on. What else is there to do?
Well, like I said, this is really what yesterday was really just driving, just to make sure that I am following the driving laws.
Is that one of those things where, like, remember, Geraldo did this great thing years ago where there was some the pizza guy, because Domino's, I think it was, had this it's there in 30 minutes or it's free, and which they eventually discontinued because there were just hundreds of cases of Domino's delivery drivers mowing down families as they barreled through intersections recklessly at like 1 in the morning, like 100 miles an hour, trying to get some poor schmuck's pizza delivered. So is that a thing just to make sure that you're not roaming through school zones at 50 miles an hour?
Yeah. It's also maybe it's also to check to make sure I'm not stopping on the way to, you know, pick up some McDonald's and, you know, maybe make a phone call to a radio station.
I wouldn't know anything about that. Prank caller. Okay.
Now, there will be one time. They do this like every couple of years. They actually have someone follow me. Some bean counter will actually follow me and count my steps and take, you know, measure exactly how long it takes me to do my entire route.
Really? That's kind of creepy.
Entire day.
Man, I'm...
Of course, that means... No radio, no phone calls, no nothing that day because I've got to be completely by the book because it's not even my manager. It'll be some, you know, some district bean counter.
Some dick. Why don't they just give you like a pedometer or something? Never mind. You know, I don't care that much. I just want to say that it's days like this and conversations like this which make all of us here in this, despite radio's many travails and travesties and traumas and ups and downs, I think all of us here are glad that we don't have real jobs. And that's why. Because I can... I don't even want to tell you. I mean, that is one thing I never have to deal with, is some guy coming in, seeing how many steps it takes me to file some report to do something or another. You know what I mean?
Did you see the picture I sent you?
I don't know. Which
I sent you a picture last night.
I've been dropping attachments lately, so maybe not.
I didn't send it to your, because I know you've been dropping attachments, I sent it to the other account.
I may not have seen it. What was it?
Okay. Just because you kind of have made reference to, gosh, your job sounds good, your job sounds easy, I sent you a picture of my case from a distance just to show you how much I had to put up last night to go today, and that's not even...
Oh, wait, here it is, here it is. Can I read this email?
Yeah.
It says, Rick, thought you might like to see this. This is two of the three shelves from my route. The scary thing is that all the mail in there is just what's left over from Tuesday. I'll get that much again on Wednesday morning. Still think I have it made. And so let me open the picture. You've sent me a picture, and then we'll move on to the stuff we're going to get through today, which is numerous and fast. Jesus, God, that's a lot of mail.
That's about 18 feet of mail.
That is a whole lot of crap you got to deliver there. That really is. Look at that.
I got about that much again this morning. So.
Okay. Well, never mind. I take it back then. All right. Well, and you'll live longer than I will, because I live a sedentary lifestyle, which means that I just stuff snack chips into my mouth and, you know, and claim to be exercising. So you will live longer. You will be alive to come by and, you know, and have a smoke on my grave, sir.
Yeah, but I'm married with three children, so I'll die unhappy in four.
Yes.
At least you won't die alone.
No. Okay.
Does that mean I'm going to take them with me?
Jesus Christ. Wow, that's the creepiest thing you've ever
done. postman is the person in your neighborhood.
Okay.
What are we getting to today, Rick?
Moving right along, I think we're getting ourselves some mental health. That's what we're getting ourselves today, Chris. Here's what we got. We're going to talk to Lisa Goddard today, and I really did mean to come up with some. This is what she asked for. Lisa Goddard, who is marrying a man with an unfortunate last name, the name of Sporbert or Sportbert or whatever, she's asked us to come up with a better last name for her, one that has, and I'm quoting now, an air of delightful intrigue about it, which is one of those things that you say about a perfume. You know what I mean? The new perfume is delightful, in, you know, full of intrigue and unpretentious, you know, or whatever. And so she wants us to come up with a nickname or a new last name for her, rather, that has delightful intrigue. And I failed to do that, but we'll try to... We'll bring it up with her anyway, see what we got. We have another exciting Rick Emerson post-hitting contest coming up this hour. Reigning challenger John Paul, who is the program director of Couple, has thrown down the post-hitting gauntlet. So we'll do that later on, which is really just an excuse for me to try to do it again and then to fail miserably and realize how much my skills have withered and decayed, much like some sort of a vocal appendix. What else? I got a ton of emails. We played that Blood Rock song yesterday. I was in a plane, now I'm dead. And I do believe that we're going to start a new tradition on the Rick Emerson Show where before anyone has to fly anywhere, I think we'll just... What have you got there? Oh, My Chemical Romance. Excellent.
Yeah, we can play Welcome to the Black Parade today.
We'll play that if I can play Blood Rock again. I think really...
You're not flying.
I'm flying the week after you are. That's the thing.
Yeah, but I'm flying on the biggest travel day of the year.
Yeah. Well,
I've always avoided.
Well, I'm just saying.
Who's going to be here?
Keep things interesting. When?
when you two fly away.
Well, no, we'll fly away.
Yeah, where are you going?
Well, I'm not going to be gone for the show. I'm just going to be gone for the weekend. You are going to be gone, what, Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
And a couple days before that, like Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah,
that's the best show of the year.
It is. You're gonna miss it. You know, we have a special food item that's being made.
I heard the burger cake.
Burger
right?
cake, baby, and then burger cake, and then some corn. We will once again make corn, and I'm gonna make a pie this year too, for this year's Thanksgiving program. I'm gonna make a pie. What was my point? So Kristen Bowie, who we love, will be in here taking the place. No one can take the place of Sarah, but attempting to fill the shoes of Sarah Dillon. Thanksgiving, and then the week after that. See, I'll be here. This is how great my life is. I get to come here. I get to go to work the Friday after that. And then as soon as work is over, I got to bomb down the road to the airport, get on a plane just so I can spend 2 days in Provo. And then I get to fly back Sunday at like 11 p.m.
When? This coming
no,
weekend?
No, the next weekend.
Is
the
that
weekend?
The weekend. Provo romance weekend?
Yes, it's a Provo get. We're going to reinvigorate everything with a trip to Provo. No. Try an exciting getaway. Lovely. Provo. It's not even Provo. How sad is this? It's a small suburb of Provo, which is like being in a small suburb of Gresham. So there you go. So I'll be... No, that's the weekend after that. So I'm flying, too. So we will not begin the exciting new Rick Emmer tradition of playing DOA by Blood Rock whenever anybody has to fly out of here. It'll be exciting. I got a whole bunch of emails about that yesterday, two of which involved dropping acid and listening to that song. So those are good. We'll get some Blood Rock emails. What else? Week in Geek today. I know it's Wednesday, and I meant to play it, and then I didn't. So we got the Week in Geek. We'll do that today. I got some radio guy that sent me an exciting new weekly feature he wants me to air. So we'll play that today and see what everybody thinks about it. And I got the best high-concept email ever. And it's so great, and it's so high-concept. And, Chris, you will appreciate this. I can't reveal what it is, and here's why. Because it's such a great, perfect, high-concept email that if I were to say it now, it's one of those things that would just take over the whole show. It would be like the blended celebrities or whatever, and then everybody would be calling up to say whatever, Whoopi Goldberg the wrestler or whatever it is. So we'll do that later on. And I think that's it. Well, we got Jim Rube coming up as well. I think. Oh, and then and then we've got, this is a great headline, Caesars gives Rickles big thumbs up. Is he at Caesars Palace?
He is.
Really?
And he is getting...
Good for him.
The first star inducted into Caesars Palace's Walk of Fame as part of the Comedy Festival in Vegas this week.
God, love that guy. Don Rickles. Oh, and...
Long live Don Rickles.
And speaking of Don Rickles and comedians of his era, I completely forgot. Thank you so much. The final thing we got to get to today. We will give away front row and backstage to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman today. We will... I was going to put it off, but apparently I was required to do it last Friday. That didn't really happen, and it didn't really happen with me doing it Monday or Tuesday. And so I got a little bit of an upbraiding from someone about that. So I got to get that done today. We'll do front row backstage to Tim Conway, Harvey Korman. That is all ye know and all ye need know, Chris.
Excellent. Lisa Goddard, a post-sitting contest, emails about Blood Rock Week in Geek. A new weekly radio feature, a high-concept idea, Jim Rube, Caesar's Palace, inducts Don Rickles into the Walk of Fame,
yes.
And Harvey Korman tickets.
Yes, yes, indeed. That's what we're going to do, my friend.
And while you're thinking about playing Chemical Romance and...
Will you put that on the list, Chris? We have to get to that. We're going to play a new song from the same album.
And not today, but maybe this week, can we replay the Meatloaf? Because that's what's playing during the whole... I can't hear the radio.
Oh, yeah, when the radio just inexplicably went off last week. Yeah, I have it. The CD's in my car, actually, but I think I've got it here. I think I've got
that's
the song with me.
Song.
Yeah. No, it is. It's good.
Yesterday you said Corks 2 was coming out yesterday.
I am wrong about that.
28.
The 28. So you can pre-order that at CD Game Exchange, by the way. All right, my friend. We'll check. Where am I at? 41?
47.
47. Wasn't it just 42 like a day ago?
Monday it was 42.
I guess this happens when I don't do things. All right, we'll check in with you at the end of the program and see what I've gotten to. Thank you, sir. There you go. Mailman Chris, ladies and gentlemen. All right. 503-733-2970. We're joined today, as are we always, by the lovely and talented Sarah X Dillon. Howdy.
Hello.
Hello. And Scotty... Oh, wait, but Scotty can't actually hear me, can he? Isn't he out defeating the meter for you?
I don't even know what's going on with traffic today. I drove around. I was so excited because I left my house at 9:30. I was on my way to the studio at like a little before 9:40. I'm like, I'm going to be early today.
Oh.
Drove around all downtown. Every parking garage downtown is full, if not only open to the monthly, to people who...
Oh, don't you hate that,
parking.
Too? And doesn't that fill you with all kinds of weird class envy
so
when you're
pissed.
Driving into the parking garage? And here's the thing is sometimes...
I drove all the way up to the top and all the way back down of two parking garages, and I had like fire in my eyes, and they're looking at me. I'm like, you better not make me pay for driving around in your stupid parking garage.
And he's waiting for a homeless guy to come out so you can run him down and exercise a little anger. Not that we would do that. But I know what you're saying, because sometimes the park... That would be wrong. Sometimes the parking garages have signs, though. They say full available. Sometimes they don't, and it's like you've got the only way to find out is to go in. You got to go in all the way to the top, and I got to tell you, I don't know what it is about parking garages that makes me so angry. I think largely it's the fact that they jack you for like a... You know, it just seems like $1 billion.
It's always more than what they post.
That's... Is it?
Always.
Yeah.
It always runs higher than what they post per hour for some reason.
Well, you know, and the weird thing is, depending on how long you're at work, after a certain... They don't really say this, like it's in fine print. Once you hit a certain number of hours, then it goes from the flat rate and they kick it up to like $2.50 an hour. And like, I had to stay here one night, it was a long time ago, I was here real late. I came in at like 7 in the morning, and I was here really late, and then like I went to dinner and I came back, whatever, and I left at like 9 o'clock at night, and I swear to God it was like $18. And it's like, and it causes you actual physical pain to pay it. And then, I know exactly what you're talking about, when you drive downtown, you're going into the parking garage, and then you're angry at yourself anyway, if you're me or Sarah anyway, because you didn't bicycle, and then you feel like a fat ass, and you feel lazy.
Well, I wanted to bicycle, but I've got to be somewhere after the show.
See, and I don't even have that excuse, I just overslept. It was one of those mornings where I'm sure the alarm went off, but I don't really remember turning it off. You know what I mean? Have you ever... And that kind of freaks
you out,
too.
I hit my alarm four times this morning. I didn't realize. I thought I blinked and just a few minutes ago.
It'll kind of freak you out because then you realize how those people, you know, well, I robbed the bank while I was asleep. And you don't think it was possible. But clearly, that's some freaky stuff when you realize that your brain and you are able to have motor functions in the morning that you don't remember. You don't have any recollection of them. No cognition of the fact that at some point, and my phone is my cell phone, or my cell phone is my alarm. That's what it is. That's my alarm clock is my cell phone. But my cell phone does this weird thing where it locks itself overnight. So you have to press a code in the morning. Morning to be able to make it operate. It's like a CBS rule or whatever. And so I have the brain power to find the cell phone, turn on the screen, and then press like this really complex code to turn it on, and then to reset the alarm, and then to put it back down. Don't remember doing any of it, which is the really freaky thing. So then I oversleep. I realize I have no choice but to drive it, and then it's escalating levels of anger. It's anger at myself for oversleeping. And then it's like, whatever. And then it's like anger at myself for not, for, you know, for like, because sometimes I'll shave late at night. If I go to bed really late, I'll shave like at midnight or something, so I don't have to do it the next day. Didn't do that. So then I'm angry at myself for not preparing. It's stupid shaving, stupid whiskers. You know, just like looking in the mirror.
You don't seem very happy with yourself right now.
Cursing myself. I'm
kind of lost in the story somewhere.
And then I'm angry.
He's kind of lashing out. I think he probably ate something fattening last night and isn't saying
it. I'm not going to talk about it. And then I'm sitting in traffic angry at the people around me. Stupid merging. Stupid not knowing how to pull a stupid wrong turn signal. Stupid.
Well, just one more thing about parking downtown. There's like, and every road, there's like one out of every 10 roads has the 3-hour parking spot.
Yeah.
And then all the rest of them are 1 hour, which means for Scotty, he's going to have to run down every hour to pay my parking.
Oh, is that true?
It's true.
Bam.
I hope he sets his alarm.
Yeah. And then you're right. You get into the parking garage, and you're like, aha, at least I'm finally here. I'm going to have to pay $10, but at least I finally found a place to park my car. And then all you see is monthly parking reserved.
Mm-hmm.
And it just fills you with, can I just say this? I don't even know who those people are in the monthly parking spaces, but I hate you.
Scotty J is one of them.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you just want to key those cars? Don't you just want to key? I swear to God, someday when I have cancer and I'm looking death in the eye, I'm going to make a long list of things I've wanted to do but I've held off for fear of criminal prosecution. One of those things is just destroying the car of everybody who displeases me. One out of every 3 cars, one of those monthly spaces, taking up room where I could be parking my car, they're just going to destroy those cars one by one. Won't matter at that point. Anyway, and so Scotty's having to go. So you're out on the street. Your car's part of the street, and so you had to send Scotty to feed the meter.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
But he was very good about it.
All right.
He didn't even complain. Well, hardly at all.
Well, even if he does complain, what do we care? Seriously. Complain? Don't complain. You're going to do it anyway, friend. Anyway, Tim Riley's working on the following stories for your edification today.
Well, America's top generals say, let's give war a chance. Let's keep this war in Iraq going.
Excellent.
Trent Lott returns to a major government post. And, of course, O.J. is giving explicit details on how he would have killed his wife had he done so.
Not that he knows anything about it, of course.
One of Naomi Campbell's hired hands accuses her of being a violent super bigot.
Does she have a cape?
I guess so.
Okay.
SB. VSB. Violent super bigot.
Oh, okay. Oh, okay. Like a crest on her chest. I didn't know what you were talking about. I thought you said SB. And I think that's an award, isn't it? They're like an SB award?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. 503-733-2970. Coming up later this hour, we will do a post-it-in contest. We do not have Lisa Goddard this hour. That's going to be next hour, because we got to get this the post-it-in thing done. Do you have the O.J. story?
I do not,
If you do, then I won't read. Well, because...
Well, I'm going to let you read it.
I'm going to read it right now. Yeah, I'm going to read it right now, actually. Because, and then, and I do have this wake-up with Whoopi thing that I've been teasing. We might as well get to it. I know we have to break. Well, we don't have anybody at the bottom of the hour, though.
What are you going to do?
What?
What are you going to do?
What do you mean? Is this a trick question? Is this a psychological test? Let me just read this O.J. thing, because I want to get it out of the way here, and because I want to ask Roop about it when he's on later on today. This is from the... And I've got two different stories here. And I will read one, then the other. I'll read the one from the AP, and then I'll read these, then we'll break, then we'll come back. When we come back... We'll all rejoin here because I'll play some of the Wake Up with Whoopi stuff. And we can be glad that at least we're not working on that program.
Oh, that does sound like
And we might as well, when we come back, we'll do a Shop Talk set. We might as well. We'll read that Clear Channel story, too.
Yeah.
And then we'll have the post-hitting thing. Okay. So here we go. This is from the Associated Press. I swear to God, I'm not making this up. Thank you. I swear to God, I am not fabricated. And you should have known that this would happen because I told everybody weeks ago when the Inquirer published this
story. Yeah, when you were spazzing out and nobody else believed you.
No one believed me. Because I said, oh, it's from the Inquirer, and everybody kind of rolls their eyes. In the Inquirer. You're going to talk about space aliens, too? You know, what does the Batboy think of it?
And side note, I was at Safeway. Did you see in the Inquirer that it says Katie Couric's been fired?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Here's the irony, is that that's actually the first Inquirer in like 4 weeks I haven't bought. I meant to buy it, then I was just the whole long thing, so I didn't. Because that's that day that there was the guy in front of me that was stinking, like he was just, like he had pants full of anchovies. And I had to get out of that place. So the Inquirer reported this a couple weeks ago, and oddly enough, they don't mention that anywhere here in the article. At no point in either of these pieces do they give credit to the National Inquirer, who are the ones who broke this story. The National Inquirer reported last month that O.J. Simpson was going to be releasing a tell-all book called If I Did It, in which he described, blow-by-blow, minute-by-minute, how he would have killed Nicole Simpson if he had, which, of course, he didn't. And then his lawyer put out a statement saying, well, it's crap, it's a bunch of bupkis, it's hooey, it's not going to happen, never going to happen, you're making that up. The Inquirer followed that up the next story by saying, the next week by saying, no, it is going to happen, and we've read the book. We have a copy of the book on our desk. It's 204 pages. They even named the ghostwriter. Well, here we go. Dateline Los Angeles, the Associated Press, and I'm amazed, by the way, that CNN doesn't have Jim Roop talking about this today. That's a network that really has their priorities seriously out of whack. Fox Television plans to broadcast an interview with O.J. Simpson, in which the former football star discusses, quote, how he would have committed, end quote, the slayings of his ex-wife and her friend, for which he was acquitted, the network said. The two-part interview, titled O.J. Simpson, I can't believe I'm... Really, Paddy Chayefsky is spinning in his grave. Titled, quote, this is the title of the show, O.J. Simpson, if I did it, here's how it happened. I say this sometimes on the program sort of in a hyperbolic sense, but really there are no words for this. It's just, it's beyond. Is Scotty back from feeding the meter? Hey, Scotty, if you're there, paw the ground once. All right, thank you. Really, we have to get somebody on about this. It just, I find it too fascinating. Maybe nobody else does, but it doesn't matter. We have to find somebody to talk about this. The two-part interview titled O.J. Simpson, If I Did It, Here's How It Happened, will air November 27th and 29th, the interview, the TV network said. Simpson has agreed to an unrestricted interview with book publisher Judith Regan, Fox said. O.J. Simpson, in his own words, tells for the first time how he would have committed the murders if he were the one responsible for the crimes, the network said. In the two-part event, Simpson describes how he would have carried out the murders he has vehemently denied committing for over a decade. The interview will air days before Simpson's new... book, If I Did It, goes on sale November 30th. The book, published by Regan Books, hypothetically describes how the murders would have been committed. In a video clip, this is so disturbing, in a video clip on the network's website, an off-screen interviewer says to Simpson, quote, "So in this book you say," this is what Simpson says in the book, "I've never seen so much blood in all my life." Simpson, who now lives in Florida, was acquitted, blah, 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 blah. And then here's the second half of this. This is from Contact Music. O.J. Simpson broke down in tears while taping it. Isn't that sweet? While taping a TV special, when he was asked to read a chapter from his new book recounting the night his wife Nicole and Ron Goldman were killed. As part of the U.S. show, which will air the end of this month, Simpson was asked to read aloud a chapter from the book, If I Did It, titled The Night in Question. And the request leaves him in tears. Simpson, who was acquitted of the brutal murders, sobs, quote, "I can't do this. I can't have my kids hear me say this," end quote. And apparently he gets over it and goes on to read the chapter in this interview with Fox. So there you go. There you go. I don't care what other stories you hear today. That's the weirdest story of the week right there. So we'll talk to Jim Rohn. He might not even be prepared to talk about it, but he is in Los Angeles. So we'll have speaks, as they say in Britain, with Jim Rohn about that when we get back. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. Take a break. Come back after this. The Rick Emerson Radio Show. You stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. All right. Where's my... All right, there we go. Coming up here in a few minutes, we got another exciting installment of the Rick Emerson post-hitting fiesta, in which reigning champion John Paul is the program. And John Paul is a weird name, by the way, because for the longest time I thought that that was his first name, or like his first name and his middle name. That is, in fact, his first and last name. His name is Jonathan blah 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 Paul.
But is there any relation to Dave Paul?
No, well, see, but doesn't it sound like a radio name? John Paul? And it's not. Does. His name is like John, and it's three first names. It's like John Todd Paul, which totally sounds like a name that you would make up. But that is, in fact, his real name. All right, it's 503-733-2970. So what was it we had?
We're going to have a post-eating contest.
We have... I had a thing I was going to play here. I had some exciting way to rejoin the program.
Make up with Whoopi.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't know that it's exciting, but I do have that. We have a Wake Up with Whoopi, and then we have some exciting Clear Channel news that we'll get through here. Later on, Lisa Goddard is going to join us, and we've got this fantastic high-concept thing that I'll read later on. Oh, and Scotty, we want to verify, you did, for the post-it, well, that's fine, we're not going to do it for like 10 minutes. I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was going to put you all behind schedule to be feeding the meter for Sarah's car. You did find it okay? You found her car properly? All right. Okay.
Thank you, Scotty.
Right, what did they call your car? The Hobomobile? Is that what your kids call it? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, oh, and 12:18, by the way, Sarah. You're good until 12:18.
Cool.
That's the next. Somebody told me, by the way, and I've got this email here, and I thought this was not true. I thought this was like an urban legend. We got this, Rick. This email says, tell Sarah she could get a ticket if they notice Scotty J feeding the meter. If those bastard parking enforcement people happen to mark the cars, which they do on occasion, they can still ticket you because you're not supposed to feed the meter if it's only an hour space. It's not an hour.
I've never heard that.
I know that was true in some place. And that was true in Utah. I didn't know that it was true here. How about another one? This is from a city, former city employee anyway. Rick. Pleased to be telling Sarah, the city considers meter feeding against the city parking code. If your area is patrolled by a heartless, godless, soulless meter reader, they can and will write down the previous time in your parking meter. When they pass again in a few hours and find a new meter ticket, they will slap your windshield with a dreaded yellow parking ticket. So there you go.
Well, I don't really know what I should do. What am I supposed to do with that information?
He says she may want to make Scotty J drive her car around to a new parking space every hour as well. Just saying.
What if you drive your car around the block and find that parking space still open and park it in the same space?
I think that actually
may
is...
May that be proven in the court of law?
But the burden of proof is on you, I think. That's the thing. If you... There's no cameras. So, I mean, if the parking, and let's be honest, they always side with the cop, they always side with the parking, the meter maid. So, but that's, is that where they chalk your, not that I'm trying to tell people how to evade meter maids. But, well, Scotty, you don't think Scotty's arguing with me on the screen. Money is money. Why? Who cares? It doesn't matter.
I don't have
me,
money, Scotty. It matters to me.
Well, no, he's talking about the city. He's saying, why does the city care?
Oh.
And
because it's making money for them every time they ticket us.
That's exactly what it is. Because see, well done, Sarah Dillon. That's the correct answer, Scotty, because things like that are revenue generators. That's exactly what it is. It's, you know what it is? It's a revenue generating device, just like, because my wife, Laura, got a ticket a couple weeks ago. She came home late at night, and she's a speed demon. She is a bad, bad driver. Now, she's never gotten into an accident, but that's sheer luck and happenstance. Because she's a poor driver. She was like rolling down the street like, I don't know, like 50 and a 30 or something. They did like 2 in the morning. So she looks like she's drunk probably. She's coming home from work late. She's speeding. Cop pulls her over. And then, you know, the cop says license, registration. And then we'll get right to this radio thing. But the cop says license, registration, proof of insurance. She has the license. She has the registration. She doesn't have proof of insurance. Now, we are insured. And I, because I've been hit for this so many times in the past, I carry my insurance card not in the car, but in my wallet. So it is always with me. So no matter what I'm driving, no matter where I am, I've got proof of insurance. And she doesn't. She forgets to do it all the time. And so they hit her for like, God, it's like $249, you know, for not having the proof of insurance there. And I know you can go to court and you can kind of haggle it down if you've got it or whatever. But that is a completely, it's completely BS charge that they hit you for not having proof of insurance. Because you know goddamn well that they can go back in the car and within 10 seconds find out whether you're insured or not. They know your name. They know your date of birth. They know everything about you. They know where you bought the car. They know whether the car's in your name. They know where you live. They know where you work. They know whether you're insured or not. That's the thing. So when the cops hit you, that's a complete and total revenue-generating device is what it is. There's no real reason for it. It's just there to make money for the city. Just like this business about the, you know, about feeding the parking meter.
Yeah, they should really have that written because, you know, I've read, like, the fine print when you have to buy the tickets to do it. It never says anything. No. It doesn't say you can't park
and here's,
for more than an hour.
Here's how I know that it is illegal to feed the meter in some places. And I've told the story about Clyde and I used to have a low-budget clown. It was a guy named Lucky Butt, and he was our show mascot. And that was the shtick, is that we would put him in a clown outfit, and he would go around town, and he would feed parking meters as, like, a goodwill gesture. And then he got ticketed for it one day. Like, cops came along and gave him a ticket for feeding the parking meters of other people. And we just thought it was a goodwill thing, like the Rick Emerson show is feeding your parking meter, and we'd send the clown out. And I got a copy of his ticket at home, where they gave him like a $90 ticket for coming along and feeding other people's meters. So there you go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's play some Whoopi Goldberg sound, because that's what you want to hear. Now, I got to tell you, this is from our good friend, The Low, who lives in Las Vegas. And we've been fascinated with this Wake Up with Whoopi show, largely because we've never heard it. He says, this is from The Low, he says, dude, don't say I didn't warn you. This is so bad, it's not even horrible. It's just completely bland and uninteresting. However, you must check out the clip where Whoopi Goldberg starts her show with a rap song. It is cringe-inducing. And then he goes on this long tirade about that Holla Back Girl song, which apparently he's... I thought that everybody had gotten tired of the song like a year and a half ago. But Lowe has now sent me 3 separate emails ranting about that Gwen Stefani song and how it fills him with the furious rage. So, for whatever reason... All right, so this is, let's see here. This is the beginning of the Wake Up with Whoopi show from last Wednesday morning, courtesy of our friend, The Low. We'll go ahead and play this here.
Whoopi.
That's me. At 8:04 at your door on Wednesday, November 8th. With Kirby, with his big white teeth. Hey! Whoopi J.
And big white teeth too.
They're all mine. Growing out my hair in all time. With Michael Fazio, a concierge.
Yes.
Just to remind y'all, he's really here. I just want you to know that Michael Fazio is our concierge. He makes magic happen.
This makes my teeth
People
hurt.
People email us and make requests to us. But
did she really refer to herself as the famous Whoopi G?
Yeah, she did.
Let's hear it again, shall we?
No.
Whoopi.
she wants to do this, what she wants to say, what she wants to live.
She sounds like a stroke victim when she talks.
The famous celebrity.
She says what she wants to
do, and
what she wants to say, what she wants to live, how she wants to play, how she wants to say, what she wants to say, what she wants to say, the famous celebrity.
Oh, oh, that's me.
She's getting down to kids.
804.
She's keeping her streak cred.
On Wednesday, November 8th.
I wonder if she does this every morning.
With his big white teeth.
Hey!
You got big white teeth too. They're all mine.
Imagine that your job is to go to work and sit in a room and laugh at her every day.
All the time.
That's got to kill your soul.
With Michael Fazio, a concierge.
Yes.
Just to remind y'all, he's really here. I just want you to know that Michael Fazio is our concierge. He makes magic happen
for
people. People email us and make requests to us, but I need to remind people of something. We are making requests of Michael Fazio that are real.
Right.
We cannot get your pancreas. We cannot have your chest lifted. That is not what we do.
We can't pay bills.
We cannot pay your mortgage. We cannot pay your bills. Though there are radio stations around that will pay your rent for a month.
That's right.
But that's not us.
Right.
I also have to tell you that when your request is granted, you cannot pile on to
I have no idea what this is, what she's talking about. I have to skip ahead here and see if it gets any better.
This is a heavy little thing.
Yeah.
Ooh, this little parrot.
Well, you know, because when you open it, you fly,
right.
So you
right.
have to have something to keep you grounded.
To keep you grounded. But
exactly.
Well, I have to tell you, if anybody messes with me today, I will pop up in the head with my parrot head. I mean, it's thank you, Michael.
It doesn't poop.
Radio sucks. It really does.
I think it's a crime that some jobs are being eliminated, but that one continues.
I wonder how many cities this show is syndicated to.
Can't be right.
This is the Waking Up with Whoopi show. I'm actually, that rap at the beginning is so bad, I'm actually embarrassed for her and for all of us. It actually was, I was shifting uncomfortably back and forth from foot to foot as she did that.
We don't know that.
Oh, it's the chucklers. God, why always with the inane chuckling? Oh, good God Almighty. All right, well, we'll try to never play that again, but yes, Scotty J's saying that her show has bad forward momentum. All right, thank you. Do you have that Clear Channel story?
I have a few, but I'm not sure if I have the one that you want.
I have it. I have a copy of that, because
okay.
We're doing kind of an all-radio segment here. So we got the post-it in contest we'll get to in just a second.
They did cut their New York staff. They laid out the staff in the programming and promotions department. At their FM station there, well, one of them. And then, apparently, a Texas Pacific group unexpectedly withdrew a little while ago, bidding for a Clear Channel in an auction that may fetch around $18 billion. And apparently, Clear Channel is $8 billion in debt. The company's board founder, Lowry Mays, who's 71, is looking for buyers after the company lost more than 60% of its market value from a 2000 peak. He and his family own a 7% share in the company that could be worth $1.2 billion.
How badly do you have to run a company if you're... I mean, really, that whole... all of the radio stations combined, I mean, they're run by like three guys and a chimp. I mean, that's it, man.
A company in Texas. And we know what happens when people from Texas get their hands on things, don't we?
I just don't understand how they can continually cut staff, they can cut their management, they can cut all of their mid-level management, they can get rid of all their announcers, and they're still... What? How far on that? $8
billion? Yeah.
I can't even fathom being $8 billion in debt.
It says Clear Channel cuts it Providence. Clear Channel cuts it New York. Clear Channel cuts it Tallahassee.
I've got this.
Philly, Hartford, South Carolina, New York, Spokane, San Francisco, Orlando, Philadelphia, St. Louis, Baltimore, Macon, Memphis.
We got this from the New York Daily News. While radio giant Clear Channel got ready to sell itself yesterday, possibly for $18 billion, it continued an internal company-wide... restructuring by dismissing several you know, here's the thing they say, and I don't know how it works.
Merry Christmas.
Your soul is an appalling dung heap. I don't know how it works in whatever industry you all work in, but in radio there is this term, and radio is the only industry where I've ever seen this term used. If you read R&R magazine or any of the radio trade magazines, and they'll give you, you know, sort of the weekly scoop on like who's hired where and who's fired where and who moved up to what job or whatever, and there is this phrase that they use in radio and only in radio, and it's when they are talking about shuffling a lineup at a radio station, and they will say, you know, like the morning guy, you know, Bob St. John takes over afternoons from Nikki St. Clair, who moves to nights, who goes in for Bob Diamond in the evenings. Meanwhile, overnight gal, you know, like, you know, overnight gal, you know, insert other radio name, you know, Johnny Danger exits. That's what they'll always say. They say that in honor on all the trade magazines. They will refer to somebody. So someday when I'm gone, when they just decided to go to, like, Spanish here or something, they will simply say, you know, the Spanish format takes over for the Rick Emerson Show, which exits. They don't ever say fired. But when you say exits, that's what happened. Somebody got sat down on the other side of the desk. Dismissing several local hosts and behind-the-scenes personnel. The big change is that most cleared channel stations are eliminating live disc jockeys on the overnight shift. And I'm really with you that I was amazed they had any left to fire.
Yeah.
Replacing hosts like veteran Charlie What's-His-Name of WKTU with pre-recorded, quote, voice tracking. And then you're right, they do a whole long list here of all the stations going to be voice tracked. Several sources inside of Clear Channel say yesterday's moves do not represent a downsizing, noting that while some, quote, traditional radio jobs are being eliminated, the company's been actively hiring in areas like online. This is another way to out. This is like when you go through several fast food restaurant drive throughs now and you're talking to some guy in Fargo, North Dakota, because the minimum wage is $2 less there. An internal Clear Channel memo on the changes yesterday said, we need to shift our focus to meet new demands in order to grow our audience. It's not going to work. And our revenue.
People are demanding other things to listen to.
People are demanding more pre-recorded programming. People are demanding more bland, impersonal DJs from a different city. All right. Let me see if we've got the post-it-in, guys. No, they're not. Well, see...
Should I go out and ask for post-hitting guys?
Well, what we should probably do, actually, this is a little weird, but we should probably break here, Sarah.
This is a little weird.
So let's take this break here. I will round up John Paul and Tom Hunter. We'll do the post-hitting contest around the corner, and what we'll do is we'll go from that then to Tim Riley, the Ministry of Truth. It's 503. Are you freaking out about your car?
I can't afford to get another ticket.
We'll just make Scotty move it every hour.
Okay.
The look on your face indicates that you may be obsessing about something. All right. We'll take a break here. We'll come back. It's 503-733-2970. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show.